From North State Public Radio, I'm Andre Bayek with your headlines for Friday, January 27th. Volunteers for the point-in-time survey set out in Butte County on Wednesday to collect demographic information on people experiencing homelessness. The survey is required by the Department of Housing and Urban Development and helps local agencies apply for federal funding. Marie Demers, housing manager for the city of Chico, helped coordinate volunteers for the survey.
We have what we call known locations, and those are plotted on maps, and then the various communities are divided up into areas, and so then each team that goes out has a map of a particular area, and so that way they know where to focus.
Demers says the survey provides crucial information for local service providers.
It is really important, even though it is typically an undercount of folks who are experiencing homelessness, it does inform the numbers in terms of, you know, what kind of resources we might be able to receive as a community to do what we can to assist.
Data from last year's point-in-time count found that Chico had the highest number of unhoused individuals in the county, with 885 people counted, followed by Oroville, with 214 people counted. On a torrentially rainy day earlier this month, members of one town in Shasta County met to talk about wildfires. NSPR's Jamie Jiang has more.
Palo Cedro's Community Wildfire Resilience Group calls itself BURN, B-U-R-N, which used to stand for Boyle Uniting Responsible Neighbors when it formed in 2019 to advocate for better wildfire evacuation routes in the Boyle neighborhood in Palo Cedro. Now the group has changed its name, cementing its focus on all wildfire resiliency work. It met for the first time this year last Wednesday. Linda McGinnis is the current leader of the group.
Our issues that we really want to address are education, vegetation, and evacuation.
California's fire marshal updated the state's fire hazard severity zones map in 2022 for the first time in 15 years. According to the new map, Palo Cedro is a high fire hazard area. McGinnis says building a community like BURN helps members be prepared for that risk.
I can't think of anything more important than this time in history than building community.
When BURN held its meeting last Wednesday, Palo Cedro officials attended for the first time. Palo Cedro's fire captain and a detective with the Shasta County Sheriff's Office fielded questions from BURN members about evacuation routes, permits for prescribed burns, emergency alerts, and more. McGinnis says she hopes BURN can make Palo Cedro a firewise community after similar groups in Plumas and Butte County, as well as other parts of the North State, did the same. Experts say community-wide mitigation and preparation efforts are crucial to surviving in high fire risk areas. For NSPR News, I'm Jamie Jiang.
Moving to state news, following mass shootings in Monterey Park, Half Moon Bay, and Oakland, in the span of just 1 week, California U.S. Senator Alex Padilla yesterday called for more federal action on gun safety.
Americans are sick of having our hearts broken.
Specifically, Padilla joined Senate leader Chuck Schumer and other Democrats calling on the Federal Trade Commission to investigate JR-15 assault rifles marketed to kids. They say the gun industry is advertising the weapon as a child-sized version of the AR-15.
And so Leader Schumer is right to call out the companies that are not just peddling weapons of war, but shamelessly pushing these weapons of war on our children.
The manufacturer of the JR-15 says it's a sporting rifle intended to make a young person's first shooting experience safe and instructive. And authorities investigating the mass shooting in Half Moon Bay say the evidence points to it as an incident of workplace violence. Acts of violence are a leading cause of occupational death in the U.S., but mass shootings are still relatively rare on the job. For the California Report, KQED's Farida Javala Romero has more.
Lorena Villalobos works at a flower nursery near the farm where one of the shootings happened.
Sí tengo miedo, la verdad.
She says the news has left her afraid it could happen at her job. Workplace homicides peaked in 1994 with more than 1,000 people killed that year. But these incidents generally track overall crime rates, and they have since dropped to less than 500 in 2019. That's according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. Jordan Barab is a former top official with the U.S. Occupational Safety and Health Administration.
Most workplace homicides occur in retail. They're the result of robberies and or against police officers, which are obviously also directly related to the crime rate.
Mass shootings like the one in Half Moon Bay bring attention to workplace violence, he says, but they're not as common as non-fatal violence, like assaults on healthcare workers and taxi drivers. But that's lent comfort to Lorena Villalobos in Half Moon Bay.
La verdad, yo pienso que haya más, como más seguridad, como personas de seguridad.
She says she wouldn't mind a security guard or some other kind of protection where she works to make her feel a little safer. For the California Report, I'm Farida Javala Romero.
Public water agencies in California will be getting more water from the state because of recent heavy rain. State water officials yesterday said public water agencies will be getting 30% of what they asked for. That's up from the 5% state officials had announced in December. A series of powerful storms dumped an estimated 32 trillion gallons of water on California in just 3 weeks. The deluge has helped replenish the state's reservoirs that had been at dangerously low levels. According to the State Department of Water Resources, Lake Oroville is at 63% of total capacity. Lake Shasta is at 56%. State officials warn that dry conditions could return. There are 2 months left in the state's rainy season. And finally, California Congressman Adam Schiff has announced he's running for Dianne Feinstein's U.S. Senate seat, a seat Feinstein has held for 3 decades. For the California Report, KQED politics editor Scott Schaefer tells us more about Schiff.
The Los Angeles Democrat has been one of Donald Trump's leading critics in Congress, a key player in the first impeachment and the House committee that investigated the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Schiff is hoping to parlay this national profile into next year's Senate race.
I think what's most important to people at this moment is someone who will be a champion for our democracy, will champion our values, will fight to ensure the economy works for everyone.
Earlier this week, Speaker Kevin McCarthy refused to allow Schiff and East Bay Congressman Eric Swalwell to remain on the House Intelligence Committee, a move Schiff called evidence the Bakersfield Republican is beholden to extreme elements of his party.
If McCarthy thinks this is going to stop me, he's going to find out just how wrong he is. And I think a great many Californians will delight in the idea of Adam Schiff being Kevin McCarthy's home state senator.
Schiff joins Orange County Democratic Congresswoman Katie Porter in the race. Oakland Congresswoman Barbara Lee is also expected to jump in. Feinstein has not announced plans to retire, but Schiff says the 89-year-old senator gave him her blessing to run.
That was KQED's Scott Schaefer for the California Report. And those are your headlines for Friday, January 27th. Our theme song is Burrow and courtesy of Blue Dot Sessions. For NSPR News, I'm Andre Bayek.